ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Hateful because you are a patriot? Something's going on here, right? They're trying to get us to hate our country. What do you think was the whole idea behind the kneeling for the national anthem? Degrading our country, degrading our police officers, our military men and women. Putting them down. Because being a nationalist, being patriotic is wrong. Are you kidding me? I'm so thankful we have a country that we have today. I'm not embarrassed by it. That is such fake news. But how many people believe that? That if you're for this country, you're a white supremacist, neo-Nazi, hateful person. Think about the men and women who have fought for the freedoms that we have in this country, and now they're being mocked. How wrong is that? Why do they hate it so much? Why do these leaders hate it so much? Because it goes against the globalist agenda. They want a one-world government. They don't want you to be a patriot. They don't want you to have a sovereign nation. They want you to be part of the world government. And that's why we see so many people who are angry at Donald Trump's speech at the United Nations. And you know what? It tells me he nailed it. That he was right on. Why? Because it irritated the globalists so much. They hated it. He nailed it. In fact, the United Nations wants a world government in less than 10 years. This one article said, in the 1960s, an informed but naive undergraduate, I was walking across the campus of the University of Pennsylvania with the chairman of the chemistry department, Professor Charles C. Price. This is in the 1960s, okay? He told me that he was president of the United World Federalists and asked if I knew what the organization was. When I said that I didn't, he replied that they believed in a one-world government that would grow out of the United Nations. That was back in the 1960s. Back in the 1960s, I think it was 67, the Club of Rome issued its decree that divided the world up into 10 kingdoms. Read the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 2, the 10 toes. 10 world kingdoms, the last kingdom on the earth before Jesus Christ comes back. A global government. He goes on, I was nonplussed as I had never heard anyone suggest the idea before. To me, the United Nations was a benevolent organization dedicated to pressuring the world community in the direction of peace and operating charitable programs to help the struggling, impoverished peoples of the world. I imagined the UN as kind of United Way on a worldwide scale. How would Professor Price's vision of a new world government emerge? Although there was a socialistic thread in its founding document, the United Nations was formed based on a vision of human rights presented in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which placed the concept of rights at the forefront for the progress of the world body. In 2015, 70 years after the original rights-based document, the UN took a giant step towards the global government that was only hinted at in their first organizing document. They issued a document entitled Transforming Our World, the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. And I would encourage you, hop on the internet, look at the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. It'll blow you away how they want control over everything, over all the nations. This document has 91 numbered sections of the UN's Program for World Government. The UDHR is only referenced once in the entire document in Article 19. Unlike the original mother document that was under 1,900 words, this document is 14,883 words. The 91 items are addressing issues under the five headings of people, planet, prosperity, peace, and partnership. Additionally, the document provides 17 sustainable development goals to improve life on the planet. What is meant by sustainable. The most often quoted definition comes from the UN World Commission on Environment and Development. Sustainable development is development that meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. The earlier ideas and ideals of rights, freedom, equality, and justice are subsumed under meeting of needs and an explicit environmentalism, which emphasizes preventing the depletion of scarce planetary resources. Of course, the takeoff is the Marxist axiom that society should be organized around the idea of from each according to his ability to each according to his needs. Thus, Marxism is implicit in sustainability by its alliance with seemingly scientific adjustments and goals related to environmentalism. A technical jargon is welded to Marxist intentionality to produce a sense of fittingness in modern progress. The entire Transforming Our World document is cast in a stream of consciousness of pious platitudes for a utopian future. It is an outsized utopian dream. 5 of the 17 items pertain to the environment. There are goals for cities, for women, for the poor, and even for life under the water. Absolutely no sphere of human activity is exempt from control by the UN. The key word, of course, is no longer rights exempt, that oblique reference in Article 19. In fact, this writer did not see the word rights even once in this document, even though that word appeared in practically every sentence of the original UN document. In other words, they want control of everything, even underwater stuff. The one worlders of the 1950s and early 1960s are now in the UN driver's seat, and they have made their move. The overlay of Marxist talk about meeting needs has moved to center stage. The UN has assigned itself a time frame for moving forward in its plan for planetary hegemony. This projected transformation detailing, yet without details, a new world order of environmental responsibility and a significant reduction of poverty and hunger never speaks to practical dimensions of vast manipulations of people by cynical leaders and ignorant bureaucrats who hold their positions through terrorism and bribery. They never discuss incompetence and corruption, twin brothers in the family of venality. The document portrays a sincere world where all those in power want to help humanity, despite the daily evidence of the selfishness, corruption, murderous intents, devilish manipulations, thefts, personal immoralities, hatreds, and utter depravity of many governmental leaders in every country in the world, and among the leaders of business as well. Is not the agenda for sustainable development itself one of those devilish manipulations? The sustainability ideal is not wedded to a Christian worldview. Instead, individual liberty is submerged in a scientifically determined collectivist mindset with final decisions in the hands of the devilish, all-knowing big brothers. The relevance of the individual is downplayed. It is being put forward by a UN that is no longer pro-Western, a much larger body than existed in 1945. So, the UN is pushing for this socialistic one-world government, 2030 agenda for sustainable development. Who else is promoting this? And this is where it really gets interesting to me, because the leader of the Roman Catholic Church, Pope Francis, has been pushing for this socialist one-world government for some time now. This is reported from a Catholic website, and it's interesting because they're concerned where the Pope is leading the church. This is what they wrote. And this, again, is a Catholic website. Globalism is, in short, a governing system whereby individual nations cede or hand over some of their national sovereignty to a kind of collective government. So by definition, globalism and nationalism are pretty much in opposition. Now think about that. If there is a global government, global collective, right? If there is a problem, what are you going to do? Where are you going to run? You see, when Hitler came to power and he was murdering all those people, right? 6 million Jews plus many millions of other nationalities. People fled to other nations, didn't they? But if it's a one world government, all under the supervision of the UN and the Antichrist and the Pope or whoever the false prophet is, where are you going to run to hide? the world won't have anywhere. They're going to embrace this government, and then they're going to hate this government. He goes on. Here is the extremely critical, gigantic point to remember. Globalism would usher in one supranational governing authority that would have complete control, as though every current nation were just a single state in the worldwide nation. Pope Francis and his globalist cheerleader crowd in Rome are posturing that the very foundational concept of individual nations are now little else than nostalgic entities which have become overrun by giant transnational corporations. To carry the thought further, these corporations are all greedy, exploit the poor of their earth, poison the environment, and are able to get away with all of it because they get to hide behind and operate through the laws of individual nations. So for the Pope, there's only one solution to all this: abolish nations, make one world government, and rein in these greedy businesses with fines, penalties, and jail time if necessary. The entire notion of such a one world government is the ideal of Marxist communism. Even though Obama said spread the wealth, he was not the first guy with the idea. Karl Marx was. Exactly who would be the ruling class making the new laws to impose on the entire human race? And, more to the point, what if the people wanted to throw off this one world government down the road? What mechanism would be in place? There's none. What laws precisely would be imposed, say, for example, about abortion, sodomite marriage, taxation, private property, and so on? And when it comes to the specific area of religion, if there is one world governing body, then it stands to reason that there would have to eventually be one world religion or no world religion. A few days ago, in his bid to dress up one world government, Pope Francis suggested that the very concept of nationalism had within itself echoes of Hitler. Them there are fighting words. I would agree those are fighting words. So if you are a nationalist, a patriot, if you are standing up for your country, you believe that your country is a sovereign nation, you're following in Hitler's footsteps. Are you kidding me? But see the rhetoric? You see what they're trying to do? Poison the minds of people. This is what Pope Francis said back on September 1st, 2019. Our daily decisions about food, consumption, transportation, use of water, energy, and many other material goods can often be thoughtless and harmful. To many of us, act like tyrants with regard to creation. Let us make an effort to change and to adopt more simple and respectful lifestyles. Now is the time to abandon our dependence on fossil fuels and move quickly and decisively towards forms of clean energy and a sustainable and circular economy. Let us also learn to listen to indigenous peoples whose age-old wisdom can teach us how to live in a better relationship with the environment. What is he talking about? I mean, how does he get around? Does he ride a bike? Have you ever seen the Pope ride a bicycle? I haven't. He has jets. He has cars. And I'm sure the Vatican leaves a lot of carbon footprints around. Oh, so this isn't for him. This is for you guys. Exactly. Exactly. And here's the thing. Who is he rubbing shoulders with? Where is he really getting his ideas from? Him and George Soros. Isn't that interesting? One article said, Pope Francis challenged governments on Sunday to take drastic measures to combat global warming and reduce the use of fossil fuels, saying the world was experiencing a climate emergency. Sounding more like a university student activist, many believe that Francis's friendship with radical leftist, multi-billionaire George Soros has influenced the head of the Catholic Church to minimize his talk about opposing abortion and homosexuality and maximize his role in protecting the environment, supporting gun control, and opening the Vatican to representatives of other religions, cults, and quasi-religious groups. And I find it interesting that they have gun control in there. But you look at socialism, and that's what you have to do. You have to take the guns away from the people so they don't rise up. Let me ask you a question. Why did our founding forefathers have us the right to bear arms? To protect us against the government. Isn't that interesting? These were government people, our founding forefathers, but they knew if the government became wicked, it was the people who would rise up and take it back. What does the government want to do? Take the guns away so you can't rise up and take it back. Look what's going on in Washington. Let me ask you, in 3 years, what has the Democratic Party done? Oh, the Russia investigation. Oh, you know, the conspiracy in the Ukraine. What have they done for the people of America? They are representing us. They are supposed to be there to pass laws to help us, right? Why are they trying to impeach Donald Trump? Well, because he's not a globalist. But why? What did they say? It was something very interesting. It wasn't because he did something wrong. It's to prevent him from winning the next election. We got to get him out of office. That's not what impeachment is about. That is totally wrong. That's a misuse of power. And they need to be called out on that. We are seeing such a push for this global government, for socialism. When you saw the Democratic debates for presidency, how many American flags did you see on that stage? Zero. Why? Why? Because they're not for us being a sovereign nation. They're not patriotic. Therefore, the globalist agenda. That's the reason. Every one of the 2020 presidential Democratic candidates is a socialist. They're for abortion as well. Every single one of them. And this is just a small list of them. I don't know how many there still are. President Dwight D. Eisenhower warned us in his farewell address to the nation on January 17, 1961, about the New World Order. 1961. He spoke of the importance of guarding against the potential influence of the military-industrial complex, the dangers of massive deficit spending, government influences on scholars, and a scientific technological elite. Months later, after taking office, President John F. Kennedy explained that he, too, recognized the New World Order, how it worked, who was behind it, and its dangers. He spoke about it in a speech on April 27, 1961. This is what he said. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed. The public disclosure of the New World Order was silenced on November 22, 1963, when President John F. Kennedy was cut down by an assassin's bullet. I don't think that was a chance, just a random chance happening. Adam Weishaupt, the founder of the Order of the Illumination, designed the very plan of world domination that's still in use today to enslave the world's masses. Upon establishing his Order of the Illuminati, he smugly reflects on his conning the gullible Christians of his day, saying, "The most wonderful thing of all is that the distinguished Lutheran and Calvinist theologians who belong to our order really believe that they see in it, the Illuminati, the true and genuine sense of Christian religion. O mortal man, is there anything you cannot be made to believe?" Wow. Before I comment on this, listen carefully to what one person wrote. "Every record has been destroyed or falsified. Every book rewritten, every picture has been repainted, every statue and street building has been renamed, every date has been altered, and the process is continuing day by day and minute by minute. History has stopped. Nothing exists except an endless present in which the party is always right." We see statues being removed, right? We see our history being rewritten. Who is this person who said that? What prophecy page did I get that from? I am kind of embarrassed by this, but George Orwell, in his book 1984, wrote that. And we see it happening in our country today. Isn't that amazing? Fiction becomes reality in the days we're living in. Our freedoms are being taken away so quickly. Sorry, that's just me. Social media. If you put something that goes against what Facebook feels is right or not right, you can be put in Facebook jail. You can have your post removed. I'll show you what I mean. Tell me what's wrong with this, okay? When the Nazis took control of Poland and other Warsaw nations, they destroyed statues they didn't like. When the North Vietnamese communists took over the South after the American evacuation, they destroyed statues and monuments they didn't like. When the Taliban came into power in Afghanistan, they destroyed statues they didn't like. When ISIS started taking control of areas in Iraq, they destroyed statues they did not like. Now liberals are in control of major cities in America and are starting to remove statues they don't like. Notice a trend. What's wrong with that? That's just facts, right? They were removed because they didn't like the post. Isn't that interesting? You see, it went against their agenda, and you can't do that. They are tolerant as long as you play by their rules. You post things that they are okay with. But you cross that line, you're in trouble, your post is taken down, and you're going to go to Facebook jail where you can't post things. And you may think, well, you know, that's minor. That's not a big deal. It's the start of what's coming down the pike. Think about it. If you're a supporter of Donald Trump, according to the media, according to liberals, you're a white supremacist, Nazi intolerant person. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but are they being intolerant of my views? Absolutely they are. They don't see it that way. Not at all. And I'll tell you, Big Brother is watching you. He's monitoring you. And if you don't conform to the way the social media wants you to conform, look out. I'll share this with you. The year is 1984. One company, Microsoft, dominates the computer world. It's their way or the highway. Conform or die. This snapshot in time was perfectly captured in one of the most famous commercials in TV history. Set in a gray, dystopian future, row after row of men stare blankly at a giant screen from which Big Brother, the all-powerful leader from George Orwell's classic novel 1984, addresses them. Suddenly, riot police burst into the hall, chasing a beautiful blonde woman in a white shirt and red shorts. Before they can grab her, she hurls a sledgehammer into the screen, shattering Big Brother and his grip on the masses. The narrator informs us that Apple's breakthrough product, the Macintosh computer, will be the device that sets us all free. Looking back, Apple largely lived up to its promise. A new wave of companies, each in its own way, followed the example set by Apple's legendary CEO. Google gave us instant access to vast amounts of information. Facebook gave us a new way to connect with friends, family, and the world. Twitter brought this world to us in real time. And YouTube allowed anyone with a smartphone to become a virtual broadcast network unto themselves. It was a glorious and empowering. But that was yesterday. Today, it's 1984 all over again. Big Brother is back with an important twist. Our former liberators now want to be our masters. Apple, Google, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, the giants of social media are demanding conformity to their values. It's their way or the highway, conform or die. The image is perfectly captured not by an ad, but by this recent real-life scene. Row after row of men and women stare up at Tim Cook, Apple's CEO, as he makes a presentation, ironically, before a civil rights group. We only have one message for those who speak to push hate, division, and violence. You have no place on our platforms, Cook tells his audience. You have no home here. Hate, division, according to whom? And the answer is obvious. According to Apple, Google, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, they're becoming the Big Brother Orwell foresaw. Conform or die. Cook's ideas are exactly the same as his fellow chief executives at Google, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. Disagree with Big Brother on, say, politics or morality, and Big Brother will shut you up by shutting you down. And what is it that Big Brother doesn't like? Well, Tim Cook said it, anything that doesn't conform to his left-wing worldview. The examples are numerous and growing. Megan Murphy, a Canadian feminist, is permanently banned from Twitter for refusing to refer to the transgendered by their preferred pronoun and for writing, "Women aren't men." Permanently banned for that. Google, Facebook, and Twitter all at various times refused to carry political ads from Tennessee Republican candidate Marsha Blackburn promoting her conservative views. She's hardly the only one this has happened to. And as many of you know, YouTube continues to restrict over 100 of PragerU's videos, finding them inappropriate for children. These include titles like, now please, don't let your children listen to this. Why did America fight the Korean War? Oh, children shouldn't hear that, right? What? You shake your head at that. Broad-based studies by the American Institute for Behavioral Research and Technology and by Northwestern University have confirmed what these examples clearly suggest. Bias against conservatives at Google and other big tech sites. And this is the bias we can plainly see. What we don't see, what Big Brother hides from us, what is referred to as shadow banning, may even be more pernicious.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread and communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.